Okay, so I made these four pictures. We talked about these two last time. You have a blow up at one end point, and you do a limit either from the right or the left to define the integral. The limit may or may not exist. If you have blow ups at both end points, which I think actually happens in one of the homework problems over there, you need to do you need to cut it in the middle somewhere and make two limits. If you have a blow up in the middle, well then again, you can basically cut it at that point where there's a blow up, and then you could just handle each part separately. And so what all of these are about is, you could think of it as the paradox of, you have a region that gets infinitely tall that may have either finite area or infinite area, right? We did an example where it was finite, an example where it's infinite. Now there's a kind of pattern, right? In terms of, at least if you look at powers, okay? Let's go my letter here. I'll think of the letter R, or P, yeah. That's the one that people use most. Right. If you have something like this, where you have a blow up at zero, and you go out, I don't know, to one or whatever, it doesn't really matter. In terms of whether or not the limit exists or not, everything's fine at this endpoint. It's at zero where you have the blow up. And these get classified. So the issue is just what does the antiderivative look like? So write it as a negative exponent. And you have we have x to the negative p plus 1 over negative p plus 1 at 1 and at a, unless you have division by zero. Right. If p is 1, this doesn't work. Of course, we know about this one, right? Now, the issue here, of course, is that what happens with a logarithm? You get the logarithm of 1, which is 0, minus the logarithm of a. Now, what's going to happen with this thing? Well, remember, the logarithm function has that vertical asymptote at 0. It goes down to negative infinity, right, as a goes to 0 from the right. So you just get 0 minus negative infinity. We looked at that case, well understood. And what happens in these other cases depends on the power of p, right? I mean, first of all, if p here was negative, then you really should be thinking, then negative p would be positive, and it's continuous. There's nothing to worry about. It doesn't blow up. So the interesting case here is when this thing really does blow up, right? And so there's kind of two cases then. Right? 0 is less than p is less than 1. Right? That, right? We have the p equals 1 case right here. Now, like when p is a half, we looked at that one, it was a square root. You had dx over square root x. That time it came out finite. And in general, right, if you have 0 between p and 1, then what is this this negative p plus 1 going to be? Well, p is smaller than 1, right? So you subtract something smaller than 1 from 1. So a minus p to the plus 1 goes to 0, right? If you have a positive power of a small number, you get another small number. So if the power here is between 0 and 1, then this is finite. Right? It, just like generalizing the square root case. On the other hand, if you have this, if you have a power bigger than 1, then your negative p plus 1 is less than 0. Therefore, that this a, which you're sending to 0, if you have a negative power of a small number, you're getting a big number. So on the one hand, you have finite in this situation, and the other situation, it's infinite. So it's good to keep these cases in mind. And what about the boundary case 1? Well, with that one was, you had to think about it differently because of the logarithm, but still, the log of a as a approaches 0 is infinite, just like negative powers of a go to infinity as a goes to 0. So again, you can put a less than or equal to right here. Right? In that case, is that. Here. Right? When you're dividing by x to the 1, again, infinite. So a lot of integrals end up looking like one of those cases. So the idea is you should know a few of the simple cases, and then you can compare more complicated stuff to them. So sometimes somebody's interested not in the exact value of an integral, they're just interested in the qualitative fact. Is it finite or infinite? So you can compare to those cases over there. Now, for example, and that upper limit of 1 in those cases, that's not important to me. It could have been any positive upper limit, right? What's interesting is near the discontinuity, near where the function blows up. The stuff that's interesting is near 0. So here's another one. Finite or infinite? If all you care about is finite or infinite, just compare it to something simpler where you know it's finite or you know it's infinite. So if you want to prove this is finite, show that something bigger is finite. If you want to prove it's infinite, show that something smaller is infinite. Okay? Now, if there was no plus 3 there, would it be finite or infinite? What's the power?
1.
All right, so we're in the finite case.
Yeah.
Okay? So
Is that something small?
Right.
So.
So would we use something bigger to check if there was finite in a sense?
Well,
pretty much. So here's the comparison. You have this. So if you do reciprocals, so this is smaller than and this is finite. So I haven't told you exactly what it is, but I can tell you that it's finite because it's less than or equal to 2 root 5. There, you might have a slight concern about, well, how do I know it doesn't go to negative infinity? But the stuff you're dealing with, the square root of x plus 3, is never negative, right? It blows up at 0 exactly, but as long as you're talking about a positive x, then everything is fine. In fact, if you think about it carefully, there's actually no blow up in this at all. Right? I could have done a different comparison. Right? Like, hey, wait a minute, there's actually not any blow up at all. How about this? It's kind of a trick question. I compared it to root x. I could have just compared it to 3. So. I could just compare that to 3. There's actually no problem with blow up in this. I mean, if you graph this, it actually doesn't have a vertical asymptote. But even if that didn't occur to you, the point is, compare it to something simpler. Slightly trickier one.
So the one that's saying more simpler, which is greater than, is finite. It should result that the original is finite?
Unless you have negative stuff, right? But assuming we're talking about positive stuff, then if the bigger positive number is finite, then the smaller positive number is finite.
Okay, yeah. So we're able to assume, like right there how you said how 3 is less than radical x plus 3, and we were able to assume that because our range is from 0 to 5.
I think I wrote it poorly. Radical x is always at least 0, right?
Yeah.
Which is bigger than. So if you add 3, you get something more than 3. That's all.
That's bigger than finite.
And yes, if we put in negative numbers for x, then the radical wouldn't be imaginary or something anyway. Mm-hmm. Here's another comparison. This time the function actually does blow up at 0, right? Because when x approaches 0, the cube root of x approaches 0, and the square root of x approaches 0, so the sum will actually go to 0 in the denominator. So there is a vertical asymptote there. Okay, that's not a trick question. Finite or infinite?
Finite.
Yeah, intuitively, what really matters is what's going on near zero. So, in fact, if you have anything between 0 and 1, for example, the powers are kind of tricky, right? If you have a power, if you have a number smaller than 1, right, and say you square it or something, it gets smaller, right? Whereas if it was bigger than 1, you square it, it gets bigger. And with square roots, it's the other way around, right? So, like, the square root of 0.5, for example, is actually less than the cube of 0.5. So the comparison's a little bit... Okay. So what I do is I think of this integral like this. I think of it as there's the part from 0 to 1, okay, and that's where the vertical asymptote is at 0. See, if the issue here is if you had x bigger than 1, then the comparison goes the other way. So the way I deal with that complication is I just break the integral off into two parts. This part, there's no vertical asymptotes or anything, right? There's no division by zero here when x ranges from 1 to 4. So this is just finite. And then, so the only question is, you know, what about this part, finite or infinite? Well, we've got our little comparison here, so... and everything is definitely non-negative, right? So there's no worry about negative infinity. It's just a question of could it be so big to have infinite positive area. So using this comparison, I get 2 cube roots down there. No, I did 2 square roots. Gotta be careful, right? Because reciprocals. You see, what's going on here is you want to round this fraction up, so I'm rounding the denominator down. Okay? So I rounded the cube root down to a square root in the denominator. And this thing, you can just factor out. I mean, that's just 2 root x, so you can factor out 1/2. And that's fine. So you have to be a little bit careful there because to make sure you do the comparisons right.
Well, if you round it, down to a square root of that?
I rounded the fraction up by rounding the denominator down.
How'd you do that?
Let's see here. Okay. We're integrating from 0 to 1, so... Let's see here. So a full. So I know this. So that's one step. Then add square root of x to both sides. And if you want to keep track of everything, okay. Keep track of the fact that we're still dealing with positive things, okay. So I've got these two positive numbers. I add the square root of x to both sides. Now I have two other positive numbers that I'm comparing. And Then if I take the reciprocals of those positive numbers, it flips my inequality, right? And the reciprocals are still positive. So that means when I feed that to the integral, I have my 2 root x there. And I know this integral is finite. Must be at least as big as my mystery integral. Which I know is not never negative.
So you know it's finite because it's smaller.
Yeah.
Okay. But to solve for that, you wouldn't be able to use the last equation you got, right? You're just checking if it's finite or not.
Yeah, this is just qualitative.
Okay.
I'm not even sure there's an exact formula for this integral. Knowing that it's finite, I could make some estimates. It's going to be a limit, right? You could set this to 0.001 or something and use Simpson's rule on it. Then you could set it to 0.00001, use Simpson's rule on that. Or maybe you learn some more advanced tricks for approximating it numerically. But this is just qualitative, finite or infinite. Yeah. It's a different way of thinking. You have to be willing to throw away a lot of information. Just in order to make it simpler. About this one. Finite or infinite?
Infinite.
Why?
X squared.
Okay. Compared. Well, the x squared part suggests infinite, the square root x suggests finite, so. How do I decide which one wins?
Can we just use a comparison? Just using instead of x squared compared to like x cubed or something?
Hmm. Well, in that one, when we did the comparison, basically the... Think of this as a 1/3 power, this is a 1/2 power. And yeah. What happened was, for numbers smaller than 1, a higher power, the 1/2 power, was a smaller number. Then we did a reciprocal, so the higher power results in the bigger bigger reciprocal. So the higher power is going to win, basically. So power 1/2, power 2. So again, it's kind of annoying because before one, the powers compare one way. After one, they compare another way. But the same procedure. Okay, this function, 1 over x squared plus root x, is continuous on... on the interval 1 to 5, so this part is finite. No worries there. So it's all about this. Okay, so from 0 to 1, the bigger power is smaller. Right? And now there's some addition going on, so go ahead and say... Well, now remember though, the question is, are we trying to round up or round down? Okay. So what do we add to both sides? Do we add x squared to both sides, or do we add square root of x to both sides? So if we want to show it's infinite, we want to show that something smaller is infinite.
So we round to see it's finite.
Yeah. So what we're going to need?
We add x squared.
Yeah, we add x squared because that'll make this thing smaller. But then when we take let's see here, but when we do,
it'll make it a bit bigger. Yeah.
That's see that, and see. So the intuition seems. So what happens now?
Oh no,
we run to a. Yeah, but this leads to, so you do get infinity for this part. But now your inequality is going the wrong way. Okay. So that didn't quite work. It's actually easier.
Oh, no.
X squared is smaller than the x squared plus root x simply because you're adding something to the x squared. So, in fact, we need to actually do the proof. It turns out we need a different approach. So trying again, we use a different method here, different way of looking at it. We do add x squared to both sides, but not this way. The comparison we needed was just 0 is less than root x. Adding x squared to that is what you actually want. So then you don't even need to break up the integral. You can just do the whole thing in one fell swoop. That's infinite. So, and this is even more. So this is going to be infinite too. So in doing these comparison tests, I often don't get it right the first time either. And I have to be willing to try different ways of looking at it. So you have to see a few of these. understand, you know, kind of what are the possibilities out there? Ideas about what you might try. Something's not right there. Wait a minute.
Yeah, wouldn't it be smaller?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. My brain's not firing in all cylinders, I guess. So I took the reciprocal. Okay.
Zero is less than radical x.
Yeah.
If we would, apply zero to x, then that means that it goes to be equal.
Yeah, in the case of zero, they're equal. I have one more idea. The idea is that it's actually still finite. And of course, this is, we know that this is greater than or equal to zero. So this is another way that I can make mistakes and that you might make mistakes, is that you might be trying to prove the wrong thing.
Itself.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to find a way to compare your function to something simpler. I mean, the point was we knew this one, right?
So we try to make it something that we know.
Something that you know. You always got to compare it to something that you know. Now, let's see. That's another. There's some other cases we're considering here. Here's another interesting one. Let's see here, how about... Okay, this time, unless my brain is really failing me, I think that we will get an infinite one this time.
Okay. Can we distribute and then just go off from there? Or
let's, well, maybe. Let's see. Okay. So you would want this to be less than 3x. So that when you did reciprocals, yep.
Oh, we're checking if it's infinite, right?
Yeah.
So we have to get something smaller.
Right, but of course the constant factor is not important. It's infinite. Right? Okay. Well, that worked great. What if we had just something slightly different?
So it's in parentheses, okay. I thought it was a power.
Okay. Oh, no, no, no. No. I don't want to... I guess just for emphasis, right, so, since this integral is greater than or equal to that infinite thing, but our conclusion is that it's infinite. What about this one, though? So in this one, what I did was I rounded the denominator up so as to round the fraction down so as to prove it infinite. So if we guess that it's, again, infinite, we're going to have to round this up somehow. What can I round it up to? Plus x. Remember, when you're between 0 and 1, bigger powers are smaller. Reciprocals, it gets turned around. when we integrate, we compare to infinity, and we get, so the original integral must also be infinite. So, again, another qualitative argument, and it had to do with, what do we have to do here? We had to find some way of rounding things up to something simpler. That's the trick. Now, in all of these, the only times we got exact answers, so to speak, were when we showed that something was infinite. Which, if you like, you can take that as a warning. Don't bother to try and compute exactly, because it diverges. If you want to get, you know, more precise estimates of these things, you have to either find a clever formula or throw away less information to get a closer estimate. But either way, it gets more complicated. All this stuff, it's very qualitative. You're trying to throw away information to make it as simple as you can.
Section is this in the book?
7.8. Yeah. Still on 7.8. We may need to do a third day on 7.8 because these comparisons, I feel like to do them justice, I either have to make them all too easy or I have to spend a lot of time on them. I may need to spend another day on this section because we haven't even talked about the integrals where you have infinite width yet. Here's two more. A little more complicated because there's also something numerator. Finite or infinite?
If we want to, could we like
manipulate? Do we consider the one on the top or not?
Consider them both. I mean, maybe we should do one first, though. But how about the top one? Finite or infinite? You want to guess infinite because of the x cubed down there. So let's see if we can flesh that out. So if we want to show it's infinite...
With the sign.
Yeah. We're going to have to deal with the sign term. Yeah. So
I think it'd be infinite.
What we want is something like this. We want to round... the string down to a smaller fraction that'll make the integral clearly infinite.
So something less than it just changes to x squared over x cubed. Plus whatever.
Okay.
So we could add like.
We have to make sure though. Remember, we need to round the denominator up.
Oh, the denominator.
If we're going to round a fraction down, we have to round the numerator down, round the denominator up, right?
How about just x times 2 to sine x?
So, x, where is x?
X times 2 to sine x.
Okay. But we still have to get some, I need to make that sign go away though.
Oh.
You know, because otherwise how am I going to compare it to something I really know? You know, I'm hoping I could just get a power of x, right? Remember this is the general pattern though. If you round the numerator up and you round the denominator down, then you okay, we're trying to round the whole fraction down, so bigger numerator makes bigger fraction, smaller numerator makes smaller fraction, bigger denominator makes smaller fraction. So my idea is the sign is always between negative 1 and 1. So I'm just going to round it up to 2 plus 1. That's how I round up the denominator, which will round down the fraction. And then here, there's two things you could do, and they'd actually both work. One thing is you could round it down to x squared. Right? You could also just round it down to 1. And either way, you'll end up with an infinite integral. Yeah, remember, this is a power bigger than 1. If I had rounded it down to x squared, I would have gotten x squared over x cubed, and I would have gotten just an x there. Either way, it would have come out to infinity.
So the whole thing is just infinite.
Yeah. So yeah, basically, we showed we rounded this whole thing down to a 1 over 3x cubed. Let's write that conclusion all as one nice line.
Smaller is infinity, and how our actual problem is greater than or equal to. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We make a guess that it's infinite, and if we're lucky, we guess right, and we figure out a way to round our complicated thing down to a simple thing that we're sure is infinite. Right. So if you remember that rule for just the powers, right?
And then you said how sine x we rounded it up, so it could. It's a 1, right?
Yeah, the reciprocals can throw you, right? Because in order to round this fraction down, I had to round the denominator up. For this one, you go the other way, right?
So you'd be negative 1.
Yeah. This one is going to come out finite, right? I'm going to round it up like so. So round down
for a little bit.
The denominator, which will round up the fraction, and also round up the numerator. What should I round it up to? Well, x is at most 4, so... The x's I'm considering are most 4, so that's how I round it up. So it's just 5 and 1 down there.
So you can just use any number?
So it's the string?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, like, the numbers that you choose round, how do you come up with those numbers?
Well, the 4 was an upper limit on x. And I know that the sine wave always is between 1 and negative 1. So that's where I got those numbers from.
So, like, anything that fits,
make
it either round down or round up.
Yeah. I mean, I could have rounded this up to 10. That would have been correct. Because it is true that all the x's I'm considering are less than 10. Although if I rounded this down to negative 10, then my fraction would go negative, I'd have a problem. But yeah, within reason, yes, you can round it up. Round it up, round it down. As long as you know it's true that, I mean, you should read this as a sentence. This is less than equal to that, if that. Right? The sentence is either true for all of those x's, or there's a counterexample x out there. So if you're sure that it's really true for all those x's, then yeah, go for it. We're going down random numbers. This one's fine. And we know that this whole thing, you know, all the stuff involved is non-negative, so we don't have to worry about negative infinity here. So the whole integral, whatever it is, at least we know it's finite. If we want more precise information about the integral, we're going to have to work harder. Okay.
Sorry, this is taking so long. Okay, let me just write down a homework assignment here. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.